This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Glad you're with us on this Friday night. A couple of times over the last few years, we've gotten the chance to talk to authors here on the program, and this time is no exception, and it's a name you might know from the area. Rick Warren is the pastor of Coldbrook Christian Church near Cameron, but while that's his sort of day job, if you will, he has a sort of a side gig these days. He's an author, a published author at that, and his book, The Scarlet Plan, just came out this week, so we're glad to talk to Pastor Rick Warren here in the studio. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
First things first, how different is it writing a book than it is, say, preparing a sermon for church or something like that?
Extremely different.
Yeah?
A sermon may take me, you know, a couple days. Mm-hmm. A book takes, you know, sometimes a couple years, and so extremely different.
Has this been in the works for you then for a couple of years, as you suggested?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of a funny story. The concept of the book, believe it or not, actually came into my mind many years ago.
Okay.
I went to college a little bit later in life. I got married first and then went to college. And so I started college when I was 24.
Okay.
I was a carpenter before that. And so around age 27, 28, my last year at college, the concept of this book popped in my mind.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, I should start writing it, because it started with a character.
Okay.
There's a certain character in the book. He goes by the name of Convert, and he's one of the main characters. And he's known as Convert because at one time was living a life of you know, sin and debauchery.
Yeah.
Came to know Jesus and changed, and he wanted to be known for that change.
Okay.
So instead of being known for his original name, which is it was James Madsen, he wanted to be known just as Convert. That was like his name change. Like,
okay.
You know, Saul went to Paul, things like that.
Yeah.
And so, but what I was thinking about with this character was his backstory, and I thought, this is really interesting. I'd like to pursue this. But the problem was, when I'm at college, it's like my last semester of school, my wife is pregnant with our first child,
yeah.
I'm looking for a job. The content and emotional content of this character was so deep that I literally couldn't write it.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't match. The emotion was too much. I had too much going on in my life. So
I would think it would be like if I wrote a book, it would be one of those things where I have this idea in my head for a long time, but then when it comes time to put pen down to paper, you just can't do it for some reason. It almost sounds like that's maybe in a way what happened to you.
It is. It was something I wanted to do, but it was something I emotionally couldn't handle at the time. I know that may sound weird, but I mean, it makes perfect sense in my head.
Yeah, makes sense to me, yeah.
And so I became a youth pastor, and I was living in Rockford. And so during that time, I thought, okay, I'd like to restart, you know, this book again, try and do it again. Started to write it again, got some more ideas developed, more characters developed. And once again, it was like, it was so heavy on me with everything going on, and I was having more kids, and I was doing more things, that once again, it was just too much going on in my life.
Overwhelming, yeah.
Yeah, and so eventually, I left Rockford and became a pastor here in Galesburg, moved back here to Galesburg. And once again, I really was like, oh, I want to do this. And so writing little things, writing down mental notes. It was funny, I'd go to sleep at night, and I'd go to sleep thinking about the book, like, you know, where are the characters going? What about the bad guys? Things like that.
That doesn't make for a lot of sleep.
Well, and it doesn't help you write because you can think about it all you want. But if you don't sit down and actually write, you're still at the same point.
You're not one of those notepads on the nightstand type
of
people?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm more of a mental note guy.
Me too.
That's just who I am. and that's how I am as a pastor, too. Like, when I get up to preach sermons, I have my notes, and that's it, because I can't read and preach. I have to just go with it.
Okay.
And so with the book, that's a different discipline, because you are writing down everything, because it's a book.
Yeah.
And so a cool thing was, is that when we first moved back to Galesburg, my wife went to the Scenic Drive, which, you know, she loves Scenic Drive.
Oh, sure.
And she brought back something from the Scenic Drive, and it was this really neat kind of wooden plaque, and it said Galesburg in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something written over it, and it was home is where your story begins. And it's a quote by Annie Danielson. I've never heard of her, but I thought that was just such an awesome quote.
Sounds like that's the aha moment for you.
It was, because I love Galesburg. I grew up here, and I was here until 24.
Mm-hmm.
Moved away, went to college in Elgin, Illinois, which is Judson University in the suburbs of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was a pastor in Rockford. So I was gone for about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's funny, growing up in Galesburg, kind of the common thing is, you know, you hear, oh, I can't wait to leave, can't wait to get out, you know. I was opposite of that. I liked being here.
I am so glad to hear that because, yeah, we hear that all the time with various stories and things that come up here. And I know people that, like me, for I'm not from here, but I love it here. And I'm glad to hear that you're one of those people, too.
Oh, I'm glad to live here. I'm glad to have grown up here. And I'm proud of this city. So it's weird, but I always wanted to get back to Galesburg.
Yeah.
And so part of it was just to be able to find a church in Galesburg to bring my family back here. And my wife's family and my family actually live in the area. Mm-hmm. And so to be back here, that was, believe it or not, a dream come true to me.
Yeah.
And so she gets this plaque. It says, Galesburg, you know, home is where your story begins. And this book, the whole time I've been thinking about it, is going to take place in Galesburg. And so all together it starts coming. You know, it's like, okay, even if I never get this book published, it's something I have to write for myself.
It sounds like that plaque and that moment was kind of the final piece of the puzzle for you to kind of finally motivate you to get on it.
It was definitely one of the major catalysts of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the beginning of my book, I have two quotes, and one of the quotes is that quote, home is where your story begins. The other quote is, it all starts here, and that's from Mikey Walsh, The Goonies. But that's because I love The Goonies.
It's
and
opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, so this book is fiction.
Okay,
But it takes place in Galesburg.
Right.
And there are some landmarks in Galesburg, and then there are some made-up places in there as well. There's no real people or anything like that that from Galesburg.
Names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yes, protect the innocent, yeah. But it's not even an allegory. It's like these are made-up characters.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lake Story's there. Mm-hmm. And actually, the premise of the book starts off like this, right? The Scarlet Plan, you know, right when you start reading the book, you're going to meet the bad guys first.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, when I read books, I always seem to find interest in the bad guys.
Yeah,
because for me, the victory of the hero is only met by how bad the bad guy is that they beat. And so if it's a wimpy bad guy,
sounds almost a little biblical too.
Well,
know any better.
And ultimately, ultimately, it is this book. The premise of the book is good versus evil.
Okay,
that's the premise. And like I said, it's not allegorical. It's not political or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good versus evil. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think and that kind of leads to my next question. Although I think you probably have already answered it. I was going to ask you about if there were any sort of parallels between, you know, your church life and your book writing life here, but it sounds like it all kind of just kind of has melted together a bit and works out pretty nicely.
Well, you know, truthfully, I would say that, you know, there's, in terms of the heroes of the book, there's seven characters that you would call the heroes. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a kind of an ensemble cast. You know, you have Convert. And you have a youth pastor. His name is Aaron Clark.
Uh-huh.
You have a newspaper reporter for the Galesburg Ledger. All right, that's the newspaper. Her name is Emma Ironside. And then you have four freshman guys that are part of, you know, Aaron's youth group. They go by the names of, Jordan, Josh, Mark, and Trent. And they're just, you know, happy-go-lucky, fun guys. And yet they all get brought into this whole thing because the premise of the story is that, there is, that one morning in Lake Story, they find a body floating there. Hmm. Someone has been murdered. And they come to find out that it's a well-known and well-loved pastor in the community. His name is Jack McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
And the main characters all have connections to Jack.
Okay.
And Jack is like the father figure for Convert. Jack was a mentor for Aaron. Emma goes to Jack's church. And so the motivation for them is, who did it? Why was it done? And how can we stop them?
This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. You heard in the first half hour of the program a beginning of a conversation I'm having with Pastor Rick Warren with Coldbrook Christian Church. He has published a fiction book, which kind of ties in nicely to his day job as a pastor, if you will. The book is called The Scarlet Plan. It has a lot of perhaps wouldn't you say, Rick, sort of a religious feel type to it throughout the book, given your main character's name is Convert, among other things.
Yeah, and the thing is that it is a book. Here was my plan with the book. Mm-hmm. The book is set, of course, in a Christian worldview, which is my worldview. It's how I live every day.
Of course.
And the goal that I wanted to do with this is that it's a real world story with the characters. They are genuine Christians in a real world. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to write a book that was wholesome and good, and yet at the same time exciting.
Yeah.
At times even scary, thrilling. You know, at times funny, at times extremely sad. The truth, I've told people this before. I think that you'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll hold your breath while writing this. And the reason why is because I did that while I was writing it.
Wow.
You know, and it was funny. One of the best compliments I got from my wife, because she proofed it. She said, you know, sometimes I was reading this and I didn't realize that you had written it. You know, and I thought, well, that's great. You know, but it basically,
I wouldn't know whether or not to take that as a compliment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I take it as it took her out of the fact that I'm just proofing a book.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the book. But to get back, what I was saying is that in the Christian media realm, when it comes to stories and movies, sometimes they can be a little bit cheesy or sometimes a little bit forced. And what mine was is
sort of the bad Hallmark movie of
exactly.
the book world.
Exactly. And my goal was just to do a legitimate story and have Christians talk like they normally do, not how movies would portray them to do. And so, of course, there's going to be talk about faith. There is a point in the book where Convert kind of tells his life story.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, too, I mean, and it's, I think it's really shown with the freshman guys. They're freshman guys.
Yeah.
They make fun of each other. They talk about video games and hanging out, and you know their priorities and their ambitions aren't the same as kind of the three other characters, you know. But I had a lot of fun with all of them, and I left the book extremely satisfied.
I'm glad to hear. I'm glad you said that. That kind of answers again my next question, which was you went through kind of a, I don't want to say a struggle, eventually starting to write the book, but maybe that's what it was, as you had, as life kind of got in the way, if you will. But what did it feel like as you were finally starting to put pen to paper and kind of put all these dreams and these characters on paper? What was that like for you? That must have been both kind of that sort of suspenseful type of thing, as you were saying, as you were writing the story, but also I imagine that had to be quite a bit of a relief at some point.
It was, and I tell you what, it was actually very exciting for me. I was like, wow, I'm actually getting it done. You know, it's just that sense of accomplishment.
Right.
You know, I mean, the bottom line is, and it's funny, I saw a YouTube video maybe a couple years ago about a guy talking about, I don't know who the guy was, but he was an established author. And he said, the bottom line is, if you want to write a book, you have to sit down and write the book. You know, there is no getting around it. And that's probably the hardest part of me writing, because, you know, even when I read a book, I maybe go half an hour and I'm like, hey, what's going on? You know, my mind doesn't focus.
Oh, yeah.
My wife literally can read a book from cover to cover. It takes me, you know, weeks to read a book. I like to read, but I just don't have the attention span.
I'm the same way. I completely understand that. Yeah.
And so this book, I feel, helps people with that, because I'm constantly going from character to character.
Mm-hmm.
You get the viewpoints of the main characters, and then you go, say, let's see what the bad guys are up to, you know, and things like that. And then let's see what the narrative is. Just all together, I felt excited, like, hey, I'm actually getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I'd go back and proof it and be like, hey, this actually isn't that bad,
you
know, and things like that. So.
I have a couple of minutes left, but I wanted to ask you about that proofing process. You said you've looked over it. Your wife kind of proofed it. Process-wise, in terms of finally getting this book published, what kind of happened from there? And talk a little bit about that and what that experience was.
The book
is
published through Westbow Press, and they are a subsidiary of Thomas Nelson and Zundervan, who are kind of big Christian authors.
Yeah.
And I discovered Westbow because I looked on my bookshelf, and there were some I had some books that were by some well-known Christian authors that were by Westbow. Frank Peretti, who wrote This Present Darkness, kind of one of the most popular fiction books out there for Christian. Mm-hmm. He didn't write that for Westbow, but he wrote a later book called Monster for Westbow. And then Ted Decker, who was a well-known Christian author, he's probably the most popular Christian author right now. He had a lot of Westbow books. So I thought, huh, maybe I'll check that out. So I checked them out, and you know, pitch the book to them. They wanted to do it. And so that was the process. And so,
what was the pitching process like?
Well, the guy called me on the phone. Mm-hmm. And he said, so what's your book about? And so, like, right there, I had to, like, you know, tell him. And he, and his response was, you know, you were able to make that clear to me now. And so
That's great.
You know, and so I thought, good. I was like, I because at that time I had been writing it for a while. And so when I signed with Westbow, I had half the book done. Mm-hmm. And so then it was like a rapid finish. So I actually finished the book in about 2.5 months. So, like, the
wow.
second half.
Okay.
And so it's that motivation, like, oh, someone's interested. And so really it was rapid writing.
So then the ideas in your head must have really started to spin around.
Well,
there,
yeah.
Right?
And you know what? I knew where the book was going from the beginning.
Okay.
And so, yeah. And so that was one of the main motivations to write it is that the ending is what I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
And so that's what I like. Some authors write without knowing the ending. I had to know the ending, but that was what was made it worth writing for.
I want to make sure we tell people how folks can get the
sure.
book. But before I do that, what advice, given all of this, would you give to someone that is looking to write their first book?
Absolutely. I would say if in writing your first book, make sure it's something that you want to do. Make sure it's something that is in your heart to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be times where you sit down there and you're literally like, I don't want to type anything, or I don't know where I'm going with this, or I don't know how I'm going to get there. But if it's something that you know that you need to write more than just like, you know, and that you want to write as opposed to like, oh, this could be a fun hobby, I think that's great motivation.
The book is called The Scarlet Plan, and it's available a number of ways, digitally and not digitally, right?
Yes. Right now it is available on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the soft cover, hardcover, and the Kindle version. It's available on iBooks, which is the Apple e-mobile app. You can buy it through BarnesandNoble.com. And in the next couple weeks, Brighter Life Bookstore here in Galesburg, a Christian bookstore in Galesburg, they will be carrying copies of the book. And we are right now working on scheduling a book signing.
That's great.
And so I'm excited about that. So as soon as I find out about that, I'll get that. I'll post that on my media. If you'd like to follow my Facebook author page, you can go to Facebook.com/RickWWarrenBooks.
Okay.
W. Warren Books. And you can just like the page and all the information's there.
And we'll keep an eye on that for sure. In the 30 seconds or so I have left, I would be nothing if not shameless about our radio stations here. It's kind of fortuitous that we're talking, and I learned about this week because you're our host this weekend on 105.3 KFM Sunday Morning Praise.
Yes, and please listen to that. And also, I do.
Are you going to get a plug for the book in?
Actually, I did. Chris let me do one of those.
Fantastic.
But also, too, every other Sunday, my sermons are on WGIL
at
5:30 and 8:30 in the morning. So you can listen to my sermons on that, or you could visit our church website, coldbrookchurch.org.
Very good. All right. So Sunday morning, 7 to 9 on 105.3 KFM, or again, Pastor Rick Warren's part of our time of faith on Sunday mornings here on WGIL. But more importantly right now, his book is The Scarlet Plan, and I've completely skipped over the fact that this book just came out this week, right?
Yeah, we're on day 3 of the release. And from what the feedback I've gotten back, people have enjoyed it. I know of at least someone who's at least halfway through the book, and she says it's hard for her to put it down. So that's great.
There you go. All right. And again, we'll have some links to where you can find the book when we post this interview a little bit later on WGIL.com as well. Rick Warren, thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations on the book and much success with it, and continued best wishes for the church as well.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Very good to have you again, Pastor Rick Warren, on Galesburg's Evening News. We'll get to Kim Komando in sports, and we'll call it a Friday night coming up on WGIL.